You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. If you've heard the term pixel a lot lately but haven't got a clue what it means, then this podcast is for you. My guest this week is Emma Barr, the founder and director of a digital marketing company called iLeads. iLeads was born off the back of Emma's four-year career with LJ Hooker, where she had no patience for time wasting, particularly when it came to generating buyer and seller leads. Lack of patience aside, Emma found by generating the right leads, she could have better conversations with the right people, and that is now her full-time job in helping other agents to do the same. In this podcast, we talk about all things Facebook, why you should be using Ad Manager versus simply boosting posts, what the different types of Facebook ad campaigns are and when you should use them, and what you should be spending to get a result, plus much more. All right, so welcome, Emma.
Thank you.
So, Emma, tell us a bit about iLeads and what you do in your business first up.
So, iLeads is a lead generation company. We only work with real estate agents. So, we've built out a funnel that can be marketed across any real estate agent, any agent across Australia. And our whole objective is to generate leads for our agents. So, it's about turning prospects that work are cold and potentially unreachable into warm and hot prospects, really trying to set out and change the way that real estate agents are prospecting. So taking away cold calling, all those kind of things, our agents are now able to just open their email inbox every morning and have appraisal requests and leads with phone numbers and email addresses and residential addresses ready for people to call and make appointments with. So it's about, for us, reaching the people that are thinking of selling or thinking of doing something in the industry before they actually do it, and engaging them on social media.
Is it mostly on social media, or do you do any offline marketing as well, or do you mainly focus on the digital?
Yeah, no, we only specialize in digital. We did try a few other mediums. We'd even tried Google AdWords and stuff like that, but we just found that social media, Facebook and Instagram had such a better cut through, a lower cost per lead, that kind of thing, and a higher conversion for our agents.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some of the tips and techniques that you use, because Facebook ads are a bit of a mystery to a lot of agents out there still. And I read one of your blog posts recently that was talking about Facebook advertising campaign goals. And there are three goals: awareness, engagement and conversion. And in your article, you were talking about how they're effective for different types of things. So how about we walk through those, what they mean and when you should use them, because that would probably be really helpful for the guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the biggest things that we find is a lot of agents don't understand it, and there's nothing wrong with that because that's not their job. They're out there to sell real estate. One of the things when it comes to Facebook advertising that we see a lot of the time is people will boost a post. So they'll get a new listing, or they'll do a post that they want engaged.
Hit that button
with.
On the mobile.
Yeah, and they make it so easy, and that's Facebook being a bit sneaky, and that's Facebook trying to bring engagement to a post. So look, it's not bad. Engagement is a good thing. Engagement is likes and comments and people clicking on it, which is good to kind of, raise the engagement of that post. But if there's not actionable techniques around that post, then we're not going to actually see cut through. So what we do with engagement and engagement posts, we like to say to our agents, first of all, use Ads Manager. So actually go into the back end of your Ads Manager and go through a full campaign there. So you can select awareness campaigns, engagement campaigns, or conversion campaigns.
So when would you use awareness, for example? So that's the first one. Yeah. So what does awareness mean as a campaign definition, and when would you use that?
Yeah, it is similar to engagement. However, awareness, you're going to get something in front of as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So it's how many people are going to view what you've posted. So if you're talking about, you know, a new listing or even a potential video or a listing video, combine it. Yeah. So that's when we want to get something in front of as many people in your local community as possible. Another segue in that is the fact that we actually want to build out audiences. So when you are marketing, doing any type of promotion on Facebook, first of all, let's build an audience. Mm-hmm. And you want that to be your target area. So there's no point in building an awareness campaign around one of your posts if it's going to the whole of Sydney,
true.
Or the whole of Brisbane, somewhere like that. You want to make sure it's in your target area mm-hmm. and going to the people that you want to reach. So an awareness campaign can be great around, you know, a new auction video, a new listing video, even if you wanted to bring awareness to a post that you've done about one of your local businesses in your area, something like that.
I heard somewhere too that awareness is a little bit underrated in that sometimes your cost per person that you reach can be a lot lower than, say, using some of the other goals which we're about to talk about, like conversion and stuff like that.
Absolutely. So it will be lower. Again, with awareness, you're going to get a lot of people seeing it, but you're not necessarily going to get people actually clicking through or that kind of thing. And that's how Facebook's going to measure it. And that's the kind of the metrics that you'll see behind the scenes. So it will be cheaper and you are going to get that reach. Yeah. So it's great for promotion of videos, local activities, things like that. But when you are measuring things and measuring your campaigns, cost per clicks, those kind of things, there are better campaigns for that.
Okay. So let's talk about some of those. So if I was marketing a specific property now or marketing or trying to find a buyer for a specific mm-hmm. property, what sort of campaign would I use for one of those?
The best one to do would be a conversion campaign. So you're going to measure things. You're working on behalf of a vendor. So you are going to want to show them a cost per click, how many clicks they're getting through, how many people we are driving from social media to their property.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a conversion campaign. Facebook will actually show you a cost per click, and that will be higher than your awareness and engagement campaigns, but it will still generate a lot of really good traffic to your listings.
Yeah. So say I was marketing a specific property on behalf of a vendor.
Yep.
And I'm setting up my Facebook ad. What does that ad actually look like for best practice to get the most cut through on Facebook?
Yep. So you want to obviously utilize your photos. So you've got professional photos taken. First of all, utilize those. The second thing would be is to have a link. So where are we driving people to? A lot of the time we'll drive it straight back to the agent's website.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a link in there. A little blurb about the property. I like to tell our agents to use less than 90 characters because you have such a short attention span of someone who's scrolling through their Facebook feed to actually get them to click that button and, you know, view the property. So we're going to have a little bit of text, a link, and then property images. You can have as many images as you want because they'll come up and they'll scroll across. So the reason I like to have the link in is because it's big and the images will come through and you can click straight through to the property. So
no distractions.
No distractions. That's what's going to capture someone's interest.
Yeah. So speaking of distractions, like mm-hmm. Facebook is an incredible distraction, you know, so you can see posts, let's say, from your family, from your friends, what someone's eating for lunch,
yes.
and then a property. And I've heard this term thumb-stopping content quite a lot. What are your tips for creating thumb-stopping content? So we've got our ad out there,
yep.
distraction-free. What makes someone stop on a property?
It's all about the imagery. Again, comes back to also testing out those images. So a little tip I like to use is, first of all, Facebook is blue and white. It's really simple. But if you're going to use colors that are similar to Facebook, it's going to be easier for it to blend in. Mm. So you want your images to really pop. So if you've got some beautiful sunset photos of a property, you know, dusk, all those kind of things that are going to really make it stand out, that's what's going to stop people from flicking through and scrolling past.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the biggest thing. But also to test out your images. So again, another thing that, you know, we see a lot of people doing is putting up an ad or a Facebook post and putting money towards the campaign and not actually getting conversions and then almost giving up. So when we do our campaigns, everything is split tested and optimized. Mm. So this image hasn't necessarily converted well. Well, let's try one of the kitchen or the backyard or the swimming pool. Let's see what's going to convert best, because again, the audience that you're appealing to may resonate better with one image than another image.
Mm. Do you guys find that you get into an area where a particular property will appeal to a particular demographic and you'll deliberately go down that path of, or I think this will appeal to millennials, I think this will appeal to older people, I think this will appeal to families? And how do you approach that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think straight away agents know when they list a property who it's going to appeal to. If it's got heaps and heaps of stairs and no elevator, straight away you're cutting out a segment of the market. If it's got a pool, maybe it's perfectly suited for a family. So when you are building out your campaigns, you build out an audience of who you want to target. And there's so many targeting capabilities. We can target people on how many kids they have, their age, where they live, almost what they eat for breakfast. So much targeting capability. So I feel like our agents, when they're designing things, they already know who they're targeting. And so it makes it really easy for them to actually build out targeted campaigns. And it doesn't necessarily mean there can't be more than one audience that they're targeting for a certain campaign.
Yeah.
They can target multiple audiences.
Yeah, but that's where your split testing comes in,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of properties can appeal to multiple buyers. So, but again, yeah, let's build out a targeted audience for some families. Then maybe you're going to target people that potentially have kids that have moved out of home. Those kind of things.
Absolutely. So let's move on to the slightly trickier topic of using Facebook to find new vendors, or even let's talk property management.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best sort of campaign to do that?
So the campaigns that we run is a conversion campaign.
So this is conversion again, but...
Conversion again.
Yeah.
The way we position our agents is positioning yourself as a market leader and someone that's willing to give information for free without requesting anything back. So that's another thing that agents, I think, sometimes can get confused about, is it's not all about self-promotion. It's about actually giving something to your community so that you're able to kind of connect on a deeper level. So when you are trying to reach buyers and sellers and owners, you're positioning yourself as that market expert. So the biggest thing that we like to focus on is, where are you actually directing those people? What are you asking them to do? For our funnels that we build out, we actually drive people to a dedicated built funnel and landing page, because it's so easy to sometimes build out marketing posts and ads and campaigns that are directing people to your website. As soon as a owner clicks on your website, you kind of will find that they'll click away and they'll look at a property that you've got on the market. They might have a look at your profile, but you haven't actually captured that person's information.
Mm.
So our funnels are built out so that we actually are capturing those people's information. So that's a really big takeaway, is where are you sending these people? What is the actionable thing that you want them to do? Do you want to capture their information? Are you going to give them a report? Are you going to give them a free ebook? What are you going to give this person that they are willing to give you their information?
Yeah, so it's an exchange of value, if you like.
Exactly.
So you give me your email address and I'll give you something that is...
Yeah, of value to you, and also getting a conversation started. So you're going to help that person, help them make a decision along whatever part of their property journey they're on.
Yeah.
It's just about having conversations and opening the door for those conversations to happen.
So let's just run this scenario for a second. You've got a great landing page set up and somebody comes along from Facebook and looks at your branding and says, yes, I want to know more about that agent, comes in, clicks on it, puts their details in, and you get an email pop up in your inbox that says so-and-so have opted into whatever it is. What do you do then?
Our belief is pick up the phone.
Yeah.
It really is what we've seen across the board. The longer it takes an agent to pick up the phone and actually make contact with that person, the lower the conversion rate will be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a salesy phone call. The people that are opting in, think about what they've opted in for. So if they've just downloaded your ebook, they've just downloaded a report from you, pick up the phone and just say, hey, Mary, thank you so much for opting in. Your ebook's on the way. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to give me a call. It doesn't have to be a, I want to sell your house kind of phone call. So, you know, being really genuine and just thanking that person for taking the time, giving you their information. And then you've got the opportunity to follow up in a week, follow up down the track. You've now got this person's information. So they then become part of your database and you are able to obviously make touch points with them over time.
Yeah, then you can call them and say, like, how many kids let
me. What are you looking for? You know, how can we help you? Are you selling? Are you buying? You know, do you need to rent your place out? Those kind of things. So it's having those conversations, but it's being genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It sounds too to me like if you're a full service agency that you probably should have multiple landing pages too. If you want to target your ads, most agents' homepages have got listings and things like that on the front of them. So it's very confusing about what the person should do once they've clicked on your ad, right? You could have a landing page for owners. You could have a landing page for investors and different
types. And you're going to have different Facebook and social media campaigns targeting those different people as well.
Yeah.
So something that a buyer or a seller or a, you know, a landlord's interested in is not going to appeal across the board. You know, you will get people that opt into different campaigns. Like we often, and I'm sure agents see it all the time, get people posing as buyers that are actually sellers. You know, they might be 3 to 6 months away from becoming a seller, but they are going to start as a buyer because they're probably looking to move upgrade or downgrade or move on.
Yeah. And this is what you've been referring to as a funnel, right? Because you've said that word a couple of times.
Yeah.
So a funnel is...
It's a series of landing pages.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're funneling. So it starts with the ad, then it's the campaign of who we're targeting. It's the landing pages, what you're asking, and then what you're giving your prospect in exchange for that information, and then onto the agent making the phone call.
That's really, really cool. And I guess that's a really big takeaway for any agents who might be listening. It's not your contact us page anymore.
The Absolutely.
Landing pages are the new contact us.
Yeah, completely. It's so simple, but you often find, and especially like a lot of agents have the capability to see the hotspots on their website and see where people are clicking. And we just see so much, you know, what is the point of spending all this money and driving all this traffic to your website if you're not capturing these people's information.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because then once you've driven them to your website, you can do something which has become a bit of a buzzword term around the place, remarketing. Everyone's talking about the Pixel, and it's not the Google phone called the Pixel, although there's a lot of talk about that as well.
Yes.
So can you, in simple terms, just for the guys out there that might not understand, what is a Facebook Pixel and what does it do?
Okay. First of all, Facebook Pixel is the best thing in the whole world. So if you don't have one, go onto your social media account, go onto your Facebook account, go into your ads manager, and first of all, create your Pixel and download it. It's so simple. It will take 10 seconds to download and generate. It is simply a pixel that sits on your website. You can get your developers to install it on every page. So that's a big point. It has to be on every page. We often install them in the footers for our agents' websites. Then it enables you to retarget every single person that lands on your website. So straight away, there's a new audience being created for you in your Facebook Ads Manager, and that is your Facebook Pixel audience. So we know now you're starting to build out how many people are hitting your website and the demographic around those people.
Yeah.
And that's so important. And it enables agents to start retargeting people. So if you are launching out a new campaign, a new branding campaign, if you're rebranding your website, small things like that or big things like that, you're able to announce it to people that have previously engaged with your brand. It's huge. And it should be on your landing pages as well.
Yeah.
So with your landing pages and with your funnels, you're able to retarget people at every single stage of the campaign.
For people that have clicked once or...
Clicked once. If they don't put their information in, we can retarget them with a specific ad. If they do put their information in, awesome. Every time they log on to Facebook, they can now see your branding because we're retargeting them with your branding, with new listings, you know, sold properties, those kinds of things. It's a massively powerful tool. And I think the average that people in Australia use Facebook is about 6 to 8 hours a day.
Yeah, it's something I know it's a crazy statistic.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. How do you then determine the success of your campaign? So let's say that, because it sounds like we could have several different campaigns running at once on Facebook that are doing several different things. And a lot of people say too, and I think I read this in one of your articles as well, that Facebook is the new letterbox drop. Like, you know, how agents used to drop things in letterboxes and stuff like that. And Facebook is like letterbox dropping on steroids or the digital letterbox drop. So it's really easy to tell in print how many brochures you've purchased and what the cost of that is. Mm-hmm. A little bit more difficult to tell how they've converted. But how do you measure ROI on Facebook? And just, I mean, roughly, can you give us a bit of an indication of what is a reasonable spend on Facebook to get a return?
Yeah, absolutely. To start out with the spending, we say to our agents, on a single campaign, you don't need to spend more than $10 a day.
Yeah.
So that's our starting point. We have agents that go up and, you know, once you are getting that cut through and that conversion, you can increase that spend across the board. You can take it up to $50 or $100, again, if you are getting that ROI. So $10 a day, massive. You don't need to go more than that to start with.
That's just a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And a donut.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Just make sure you like stop it or put an end to your campaign, otherwise it will run continuously until the end of time. So $10 a day, great place to start. With measuring it, it does get a little bit more tricky. We are going to find that different campaigns are going to have different things. So going back to our awareness and engagement campaigns, we like to say that a really good metric that we aim for in our campaigns, if you're getting a cost per engagement of around 10 cents or under, you are absolutely smashing it out of the park.
Yeah.
So that's one of our business's KPIs. That's where we like to get to, cost per engagement of 10 cents or under. So if our agents can work to that, they will be doing really, really well. And that means that the people that they're targeting in their audience are really engaging and, you know, really liking what they're putting out there.
Because Facebook does reward content that people will engage with.
100%. Exactly. Yeah. So with a conversion campaign, we again like to go for a cost per conversion of around a dollar or under. Again, that's a really good point to aim for. Mm. So a conversion can be a cost per click. So if that's how you're measuring your campaign, so that's great if you've got a new listing, auction campaign, that kind of thing. Or again, if you are trying to send people to a funnel, so if you're targeting those homeowners, those landlords, if you are trying to kind of get them, if you're going for a cost per click of a dollar, again, you're making contact with the right people.
Yeah.
I mean, even under $3 for someone starting out, you're doing a really, really good job.
Yeah. Because again, Facebook works on that reward system.
And Facebook will help you. Like, yes, they want your money, but also they will help you. So if you've got quite a broad audience and you are finding that you're not getting a lot of clicks or you're getting a few clicks, Facebook will help you refine your audience. Mm. And it will say, okay, it kind of takes into account, right, well, we're only getting clicks from, you know, the age group of 35 to 45. So it will start targeting people more because it wants more people to click through to your campaign.
Yeah.
So your money will get spent. Bit of a catch-22, but again, it's all about driving that traffic and getting the right people to see your messages.
Instagram has gained a lot of popularity lately. Yeah. So what about Instagram versus Facebook? When do you use one over the other?
Yeah, it's great. For us, we do split test again our campaigns across both mediums. We haven't found the cut through on Instagram as good as it has been on Facebook. Instagram, it's all about imagery. You know, it's all about having pretty photos and that kind of thing. So it's not going to work in every market. And I think that's a really good thing for our agents not to get stressed out about. You know, if you don't have the beautiful waterfront properties or those kind of things, it is going to get harder to get that cut through. It's an amazing branding exercise for our agents, for reaching the right people, for driving your campaigns, for bringing awareness to your business. I still believe that Facebook at this point is the number one tool. Is it going to shift? Is there going to be a change in the future? Definitely, potentially. But I'd say to our agents, stick at the moment with Facebook, still have an awareness around Instagram, and do split test some of your campaigns. If you do have a amazing property that has stunning imagery, absolutely start promoting it on Instagram as well. But just keep in context that on Facebook, you've got the text, you've got the links, it's really easy to kind of build out a campaign, whereas Instagram, people are just flicking through and scrolling through looking at pretty pictures. So don't get disheartened if you're not going to get that cut through on Instagram.
Good advice there. So let's sort of recap a bit. Awareness for general brand awareness, for office awareness and things like that, to get in front of as many local people as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And then engagement and conversion when you want people to get to your website, but make sure that they've got a decent landing page there so that the consumer knows what to do. Is there anything else that you think that agents should do today, tomorrow, as a result of listening to this podcast?
Absolutely. First of all, I'd say measure everything and don't get disheartened. So when you are building out a new campaign and you see, you know, your cost per click, just measure what changes you make. If you do change the cover photo, the hero photo of your image, make a note of what the cost per engagement or cost per conversion was before you change it and what it is after. That's the big one, to measure things. The second one, which we kind of haven't really touched on, but I'd love to just get it out there, is videos. Mm-hmm. Videos are so powerful at the moment, and Facebook is rewarding agents or rewarding everyone for posting videos.
Is it all videos or live videos or?
Both. They do love live videos. Live videos are harder for agents to do because, you know, there's only one chance. But again, just by doing a video, you are bringing awareness to yourself and your brand, but you're also putting a face behind that brand and you're letting your local community, your prospects, your potential customers see who you are as a person and who you are as a brand. Another really amazing tool that Facebook has that not many people know about is that if you record a video and upload it onto Facebook, it will automatically generate subtitles for you. You do have to go through and do a bit of editing and make sure that it says the right words. But it's an amazing tool because straight away you've got automated subtitles on your video. So now, you know, people can read it on the bus, on the train, if they don't have headphones, you're still getting your message across. And lastly is just to keep trying. Facebook is going to change its metrics all the time, but having a purpose and a goal and getting your brand out there and being present on social media is really important.
Yeah, everything's a test till it's not, right?
Exactly. And unfortunately, I think Facebook's always going to be trying for people.
Yeah.
But it's great awareness for your brand. It really is, gives agents the opportunity to show who they are as people. You know, agents are people. They need to make sure that their local communities can see them as people and not just as a business.
Fantastic advice. Emma Barr, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.